All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. You know, we always talk about what goes into our contracts.
Yeah.
You know, what are we agreeing to? What are the terms of the deal?
Right, right.
But I think sometimes what we don't think about as much is how we're going to resolve disputes.
Yeah.
If they come up.
Huge.
And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to be diving into dispute resolution clauses. And you know, sometimes these can be a little bit overlooked.
Mm.
But they're actually super important to making sure that your agreement is really going to work for you and protect you if something goes wrong. So we're going to break down everything that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be looking at some source material to help illustrate some of these points. And I think one of the interesting things that we're talking about today is that sometimes deadlines can really backfire.
Yes.
You would think, you know, deadlines make things more efficient.
Right.
But if they're not written correctly, or if they're too rigid, it can actually cause a lot of problems.
Yes, it just can. You know, building a house, but not putting in a good plumbing system.
That's a good one.
So
everything gets messy.
Yeah.
Right.
Eventually. Right. So yeah, let's talk about, you know, what is a dispute resolution clause?
Okay. So a dispute resolution clause.
Yeah.
Is essentially, you know, it's a section in your contract that everyone kind of glosses over.
Yeah.
But it's really important. And what it does is it says, you know, hey, if we disagree on something, this is how we're going to handle it. It's the process that we've all agreed on in advance to resolve that dispute.
Right. And this could
be,
it could be mediation.
Sure.
It could be arbitration.
It could even be, you know, going to court.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people try to make this process too rigid.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the source material here. I see, you know, this example where it's like,
right,
every single step of the process has a deadline, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Choosing the arbitrators.
Having the preliminary hearings, doing discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, ick, ick. Very tight timelines. And, you know, on one hand, it seems like it could be really efficient.
Yeah, on paper, it's wow, this is great. This is going to be so fast. Everything's going to be great. But the problem is real disputes are messy. They don't fit into our neat little boxes.
Right.
And our timelines that we've preset.
Okay, so let's walk through that.
Huh?
What actually happens when you have, you know, these really tight deadlines?
Yeah.
And you get into a complicated dispute.
Huh.
What are some of the real world consequences?
So imagine a dispute that, you know, has reams and reams of paper, tons of discovery, multiple parties, technical experts coming out the wazoo.
Right.
And you're trying to shove all of that into these tiny little deadlines. It just doesn't work. And so what ends up happening is you end up with frustrated parties, a rushed process, and potentially an unfair outcome.
But I mean, some deadlines are good, right?
Sure.
How do you balance
you need to have efficiency.
With fairness.
Yeah, some guardrails in place, right? You don't want this thing to just drag on forever and ever. But you also don't want it to be so rushed that it produces an unfair result.
How do you? Do you strike that balance?
Well, one way to do it is to, instead of these rigid deadlines, you allow the arbitrator to have some discretion based on the complexity of the case.
I see. So it's like a pressure valve.
Right. It's like a pressure valve.
You can adjust it if you need to.
Exactly.
Okay. And I guess.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because
weak test.
You're not going to know.
Yeah.
You know going in.
You don't know how complex the dispute's going to be.
Yeah. Are there any other approaches that we can
consider? You know, you can say, okay, these deadlines are binding, but the arbitrator has to agree to them before accepting the appointment.
Okay.
So they're looking at it saying, okay, I can do this in this time frame, or I can't.
It's like setting those expectations
up
front. Yeah.
Exactly.
For any other things that we can.
Yeah, sure. You can include a provision that allows the arbitrator to waive a procedure if it's causing more harm than good, if one of the parties requests it. Again, it's all about flexibility.
Yeah. It's about making sure that the process works for the situation that you're in. Yeah. I think sometimes people think that, you know, a dispute resolution clause is just about avoiding court.
But it's more than that. It's about finding a resolution that works for everyone.
So it's about finding a fair
outcome.
Right. It's not about just, you know, papering it over and, you know, getting a quick decision. It's about actually resolving the dispute.
So this brings up an important question for you. What are some other factors that you might need to consider when you're drafting one of these?
Well, you know, every industry is different. Every situation is different. So you need to think about what kind of disputes are likely to arise in your business.
Yeah. What kind of process is going to make sense for that?
So it's not one size fits all.
Absolutely not. No two. Dispute resolution clauses are the same.
And that's a great point to attend on. So that wraps up our deep dive for today. Make sure to check out the show notes. We'll have some great resources if you want to dive in a little deeper into this topic.
And I'll see you next time for another deep dive.